The Hidden Life of Trees, Chapter 12. Mighty Oak or Mighty Wimp. When I walk through the forest I manage, I often see oaks in distress, and sometimes they're very distressed indeed. Anxious suckers sprouting at the base of the trunk are a dead giveaway. These spindly tufts of growth ring the tree and usually quickly wither away. They indicate that the tree is engaged in an extended fight to the death, and it is panicking. It doesn't make any sense for the oak to attempt to grow leaves so close to the ground, because oaks are trees that need light. They need very bright conditions to photosynthesize. Their ground-hugging solar panels don't produce any energy in the twilight of the understory, and the superfluous arrays are quickly done away with. A healthy tree doesn't bother to sink energy into developing that kind of growth, preferring instead to extend the reach of its crown up above. At least, that's what it does when it is left in peace. However, oaks in central European forests are not left in peace, because this is the homeland of the beech. Now, the beech is an amazingly socially oriented tree, but only when it comes to its own kind. Beeches harass other species, such as oaks, to such an extent that they weaken. It all starts quite slowly and harmlessly when a jay buries a beech nut at the feet of a mighty oak. Because the jay has enough food cached away elsewhere, this beech nut lies undisturbed, and come spring, it sprouts. Slowly, over the course of a number of decades, the sapling grows upward, quietly and unnoticed. True, the young tree doesn't have its mother, but at least the old oak provides shade, and so it helps to raise the youngster at a measured, healthy pace. What looks harmonious above ground turns out to be the beginning of a fight for survival below the surface. The beech roots penetrate every space the oak is not using, burrowing beneath the old trunk and snapping up water and food the big tree had counted on using for itself. This causes a subtle weakening in the oak. After about 150 years, the little beech tree has grown so tall that it is gradually growing into the crown of the oak. Into, and after a few more decades, through and the past, oh goodness me, that doesn't sound right, into, and after a few more decades, through and past, for in contrast to its competitor, the beech can extend its crown and keep growing almost all its life. By now, the beech leaves are getting direct sunlight, so the tree has all kinds of energy to expand. It grows an impressive crown, which catches 97% of the sunlight, just as beech crowns always do. The oak finds itself relegated to the second tier, where its leaves make a vain attempt to snatch some light. Sugar production is drastically reduced, reserves are used up, and the oak slowly starves. The oak realizes it cannot beat this stiff competition and will never be able to grow tall shoots to overtake the beech. In its time of need, perhaps in the face of rising panic, it does something that goes against all the rules. It grows new shoots and leaves way down at its base. The leaves are particularly large and soft and can manage with less light than the leaves up in the crown. However, 3% is simply not enough. An oak is not a beech. Therefore, these sprouts of anxiety wither, and the precious energy it took to grow them has been squandered. At this stage of starvation, the oak can hold out for a few more decades, but at some point, it gives up. Its powers are waning, and wood-boring beetles might come along and put it out of its misery. The beetles lay their eggs under the bark, and the wriggling larvae make short work of feeding on the tree's skin and ending the defenseless tree's life. So, is the mighty oak really a mighty wimp? How did such a weakling of a tree become the symbol for fortitude and longevity? No matter how badly this tree might fare in most forests in comparison with beeches, an oak can be very tough if it doesn't have any competition. Consider open spaces, specifically our cultivated landscape. Whereas beeches last barely more than 200 years outside the cosy atmosphere of their native forests, oaks growing near old farmyards or out in pastures easily live for more than 500. And what if an oak gets a deep wound or a wide crack in its trunk as a result of a lightning strike? That doesn't matter to the oak, because its wood is permeated with substances that discourage fungi and severely slow down fungal decomposition. These tannins also scare off most insects and, incidentally and inadvertently, improve the taste of wine, should a barrel ever be made from the tree. Think oaked wine. Even severely damaged trees with major branches broken off can grow replacement crowns and live for a few hundred years longer. Most beech trees wouldn't be able to do that, and they certainly wouldn't be able to do it outside the forest without their beloved networked connections. A storm-battered beech is able to hang on for no more than a couple of decades. In the forest I manage, oaks show they are made from very stern stuff. On a particularly warm, south-facing slope, there are quite a few oaks clawing at naked rock with their roots. When the summer sun heats the stones unbearably, the last drops of water evaporate. In winter, bone-chilling frost penetrates deeply in the absence of the thick protective layer of earth, mixed with copious quantities of rotting leaves that you find on the forest floor. The slightest wind catches the slope, so only a few meagre lichens grow there, and they do little to moderate temperatures that are so extreme. The result? After a century, the trees, or rather miniature trees, are no thicker than your wrist and barely more than 15 feet tall. While their colleagues have grown substantial trunks and more than 100 feet tall in the cosy environment of the forest, these frugal trees make do and content themselves with growing no taller than shrubs, but they do survive. The advantage of this hardscrabble existence is that other species gave up long ago. So, it seems, there can be advantages to a life of deprivation if it means you don't have to worry about competition from other trees. The thick outer layer of the oak's bark is also much more robust than the smooth, thin skin of the beech, and it can take a great deal of punishment. This has given rise to a saying in German. Oh gosh, this is going to test my German now. Don't judge me, please. Was schert es einer alte Eiche, wenn sich ein wildes Schwein in ihr Schreit? I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. S-C-H-E-U-E-R-T. Scheuert? I'm sure I'll get a correction even sometime. Which roughly translates as, it's no skin off an old oak's back if a wild boar wants to use its bark as a scratching post. That's probably why I should read these things before I record.